Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you are visiting with us today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your church bulletin and place it in the collection plate. Pastor Otero would like to send you a thank you note for worshiping with us today. As you know, Pastor and Mrs. Otero are on vacation, and Lord willing, will return in time to lead us again in worship on Sunday, October 3rd. Victor Laurel will lead us in worship and teach at our evening service on Wednesday. Again, it is our privilege to have in the pulpit Pastor Jack Van Dyken. Pastor Otero, being the good under-shepherd that he is careful that the man preaching from this council, pulpit, will bring the whole counsel of God. And Pastor Van Dyken certainly meets that criterion, further supported by 50 years of obedience to God's calling by teaching, preaching, leading, and pastoring. We thank God you can be with us again today, Pastor. Thank you. Pastor Van Dyken will be preaching again at 2:30 this afternoon at Pacific Hills Manor in Morgan Hill. And it will be a blessing to you and to those at Pacific Hills if you are able to attend that service. We would remind you again of the anniversary celebration of Bethel Baptist Church on Sunday, October 10th. The banquet will be served at the Good Food Company in Morgan Hill, and missionary Fred Lewis will be speaking. This is the last Sunday of the month, and our fellowship luncheon will be served directly after our service. I'd like to add one other thing, and that is that the choir rehearsal and the children's ministry are canceled for this afternoon. Our scripture reading for the month of September is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, which is printed in your bulletin. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Let us begin our worship with the singing of the three hymns printed in your bulletin, hymn numbers 27, 454, and 230. The first hymn then is number 27, I Sing the Mighty Power of God.
I sing the wings everlasting, glorious Father. We thank Thee, our God, for the call to the house of God. We have left those things of our daily needs where we have to do our work and these things for which we are responsible. We have left that world which out there attempts us to do the things and which would keep us away from Thee. But Thy call to Thy house again through the power of the Holy Spirit has beckoned our hearts, and we're here, our God, that we might be able to worship and to praise Thy name. We pray, our Father, that as we come here, we may bring our burdens and our problems and our hurts, our needs, and present it at the throne of grace. For Thou art the God that giveth everything unto Your people, all the things that are needed and all the things that are best for us. We thank Thee, our God, for Thy love for us. We thank Thee for this church, Bethel Church, so that this here again is a place where the people in our area here may be able to come, that they may walk and talk with those who love Jesus Christ and may come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray Your blessing upon all who have come to church this morning and all those too who listen in on the radio, that those who have heartaches and those who have pains and those who have problems in their life, that they may not try to find their solutions in the things of the world, but only in Jesus Christ. To that end, our Father, we pray that they may go to Thee in prayer, that they may open Thy Word and study and see what God would have for them to know, that they may be mature Christians loving the Lord Jesus Christ and the way of salvation. We pray Thy blessing upon the service today for those who participate in all the ways, and as we sing and as we pray and as we hear the Word of God proclaimed, may we, our God, be drawn ever closer to Thee. We pray for those who are sick, those who have special problems, those who are in need. There's so many things that we do not understand, and too often we do not understand those who have these problems. We pray, our Father, that they may realize in the final analysis that only God can understand. And so to that end, may they find themselves asking of Thee and bringing their hurts and their problems to Thee and then living to Thy glory and praise. We pray Thy blessing, our God, upon those who could not be here too. And we think also of our pastor, Dr. Otero, and his wife as they are ministering in Mexico at this time. Bring them back safely this week that he again and his wife may be able to participate and to be with God's people in this, the house of prayer. This, the house where God speaks to us in a very special way, because this is where God's people are, and this is where the Word of God is, and this is where the proclamation of the gospel message goes forth. And so we pray, our Father, Thy blessing upon all who have come this day. We pray also Thy blessing upon this church, and that as we bring our offerings and tithe, we pray that this may be to Thy glory and praise. Not that we would purchase anything thereby, but only that we would show gratitude to God and obedience, that we would give unto those things which are necessary for the extension of the kingdom of God. Forgive our sins, we pray, our Father. We confess them. We know that we have fallen so far short. We know that only in Jesus Christ is there salvation. Take therefore these our gifts and offerings and our love for Thee, O God, to Thy glory and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home?
When Jesus is my portion,
my constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 139. If you didn't bring a Bible, there is a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 482. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace with our prayers, made possible by the sacrifice of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who being without sin yet bore our sins in his own body and suffered your wrath in our place. We can only thank you for this great salvation. What a great comfort, Father, to know that you are not only all-powerful and all-knowing, but you are everywhere present, and there is no limit to your power and authority. What great comfort to understand that you knew us before we were born, and not only formed the universe, but formed us in our mother's wombs, that you lead us and hold us, and that you have brought us out of darkness and gave us to your Son, who will not lose one of us, who are now, even now, indwelled by the Holy Spirit. We pray for your servant and our pastor, Gabriel Otero, and Mrs. Otero. Grant them a time of refreshment as they spend these days resting and recuperating on their vacation. And we ask that you would return them to us with good health and vigor. We thank you for your servant, Pastor Jack Van Dyken, that as he brings the good news to us here and on the radio, that you would give us understanding that we might be obedient to your word. If there are some hearers of the word that are in unbelief, we pray that you would be merciful to them as you have been merciful to us and justify them through the gift of faith. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And please be seated.
Psalm 139 is a glorious, wonderful psalm. Almost could say it was unusual because it, in a marvelous way, asks God to do a thing that we really don't want him to do. That is, by nature, we don't want him to do. We say in this psalm, as David did, search my heart and know me. Know what I'm thinking about. Know everything about me. That's not what we really, really like in life. We try to hide things. People don't like to be exposed. We try to hide our sins, and we know that. We see it in government. We see it in politics. We see it all over, and we see it in our own lives. This particular psalm is such a glorious explanation of how our God is a sovereign God who knows all things, works out all things, is in command day and night. And so we, as God's people who love him, ask him to search our lives. My text for this morning's message is found in that Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. These marvelous words, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. David says here, and you and I too, as God's people say, search me. Search me. Wherever we go in this world, we are searched nowadays because they don't trust anyone. I walked into one of the administrative buildings where they have the courts in my area, and you just don't walk through there. I had to take everything out of my pocket, and they even wanted me to take my belt off because there was something in there that rang a bell or something. They were just so afraid. Search me, search me. Well, in a more wonderful way, we ask God to search us because we're talking about something spiritual. David's request. David is known in Scripture, and God says that David was a man after God's own heart. What a tremendous, glorious thing to say about anyone. David. And you know, if I were writing the Bible, I would have left out a few things. Of course, God doesn't leave out anything. And that's the wonderful thing. And that guarantees to us again that the Bible is God's word, and God says it the way it is. But if I were writing the Bible, I wouldn't have said anything about David's sin with Bathsheba. I would have omitted that. Why, this is one of the great and wonderful men of the Word of God. And if we're going to try to tell people about being Christians, and then we use the Bible, and then we use one of the great examples of how wonderful it is to be a child of God, it exposes this man's sin. But that's the Bible. The Bible's the truth. It's the bare truth, the glorious truth. It's God's truth. And that's why David can say to us, and we to say to, search me, O God. Know my heart. You know, God's love for each one of us is a personal love. That's why we can say this. We don't say this publicly necessarily. We say this when we are on our knees before we go to sleep at night by our bed. And we look up to God and we realize that all the things that we've done during the day, they weren't all good. Not only the fact that we failed in some things, but we've done things that are wrong. We perhaps have lied. We perhaps have done things contrary to God's will, contrary to the laws of our nation. And so now when we are ready to put our head down on that pillow and go to sleep, we want to talk to God because he's our God. He knows what we do because God is sovereign. He's almighty. And yet as a child of him, of his, we say, search me. But this says something right in itself when we ask this. This can't be said by a person who doesn't love God. This can't be said by a person who wants to hide things from God. It's only one who wants to walk hand in hand with God. And Christian friends, you can't walk with God each day. We find in Scripture that when Adam and Eve were created, before sin entered into the world, Scripture says that Adam walked with God in the cool of the evening. Oh, what a wonderful thing. He walked and talked with God. Of course, he couldn't see God, and yet God was there, and he was able to unburden his heart. He was there to ask God for direction in all of the things in his life. What a precious and wonderful thing it was, and suddenly it stops. And God is out there yet. And God says, Adam, where art thou? And he says, I'm here. So what are you doing? I'm hiding. Because he had fallen into sin, both he and Eve. And sin is a thing that separates us from God. But thank God through Jesus Christ, there is salvation by which our sins are all washed away. And so as children of God, we can say to God, God, search my heart. Search my heart. I belong to you. I want to be yours totally and completely. A man and a woman. A husband and wife. Those who love each other want the other person to know what's in the heart. I've been a marriage counselor for 50 years. And I find one of the problems is that there's something hidden someplace. The man has something that he's doing or that he's planning on doing that he doesn't really want his wife to know. And there are steps and things that the wife sometimes has done that's totally wrong, contrary to what she ought to be as a loving wife. But when they really come to it, if they want to live in harmony with God's word, and if they want to have a good marriage, they must be able to let the other person look into their heart. Now that's a precious place. That's a secret place. But when we, in our love for each other, are willing to say, here's my heart, I open it out to you. Look into me. Well, various things happen. First of all, then we have more confidence in each other, even though we find that sin in there. But we then want that sin to come out. And the only way that sin comes out is not by hiding it, but by exposing it. And that's why David says, oh God, search my heart. I am a sinful man. Search my heart, God. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. Even as Adam did in the Garden of Eden. I want to find every day a day of joy. Let's go back to that marriage. It's fun. It's wonderful. It's tremendous to walk with someone that you love, having the same desires in life and the same aims for a family and all the things that are involved. And then at the close of the day, with arms around each other, praying to God, praying for each other, and opening our hearts and confessing our sins. Before we get off the track and get way off. As a marriage counselor, I've found that they don't come and ask for help until it's almost at that point where one of the two of them says, well, let's get a divorce. And they say, oh, no, wait a minute. Let's try a counselor. It's awfully late. when that first little sin gets involved there, that's when there must be that exposing. Never husband, never wife, never child, never mother or father, close your heart to each other. That must be exposed. I know that's a delicate, it's a special place. The world says, I hear these things constantly. And in graduate school, I heard this too, where a husband or a wife, a man or a woman might say, well, I got to have my space. You know what they're saying? I want to be able to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And it's me. Or they that very word, I want to be me. I want to be me. It's a dangerous thing. Sounds so good, but that's the world saying, I want to do my sin my own way. But God says, no, don't do that. Open your heart. Children, open your heart to mom and dad about the things that went on in school that you knew were wrong. When somebody said to you, well, hey, come on, let's go out here and I have some marijuana and we can smoke. Or give you some other drugs. You know, children, let me tell you, folks, children in the grammar school already are being tempted. And so I'm saying to them, talk to mom and dad about it and say, mom, you know, Johnny said this to me today, or Mary said this, and what do you think about it? Oh, darling child, I'm glad you tell me. Because now I can tell you how awful it is, what happens to your whole life. It's ruined, and it's a thing of the devil. Don't ever get involved in that. Children, open your hearts. Tell your mom and dad when these things happen. Mom and dad, don't jump down their throat. Put your arm around them and love them and say, I know, son, I have temptations too. I know, daughter, that these things come. And let's just talk about them. And let's talk to God about it. That's the Christian family. That's the hope of our nation, of the world. And they talk about what are we going to do in America? This and that is terrible. Catastrophic things happen. You know where the problem lies? Just at where I'm talking to you about. Where that child must be able to open his heart to mama and dad. And dad and mama must be able to talk to each other that way. David said, search my heart, examine me, know me. And that's the way we need to go. Each day, we can't let it lay idle in the heart where it ferments and where it grows up and it becomes worse and worse. Get rid of it right away. Heard a beautiful thing in the Bible class this morning. I admired our teacher as he told us about temptations that came, and God took care of it right then. Oh, what a wonderful thing. That's the kind of a God we have. But David says, search my heart. Search me and know my heart. God, I want you to know me. I want you to know me exactly the way I am. And let me again refer this to the family and to marriage. Oh, when a husband knows the heart of his wife. Oh, when a wife knows the heart of her husband, it's theirs. They belong to each other. They become one. This is what God wants of us. And they're not afraid to say, search my life, honey, with no excuses, no lies, nothing separating us. Don't let that separation come. That's the beginning of problems. And that's what Satan does. He puts those in there. Know my heart. I don't want to hide a thing from you, darling. God, I don't want to hide anything from you because you above all are all that I have. You're my hope. You're my joy. You're my everything, God. And I don't want anything to be between me and you. Know my heart. I know it's a sinful heart, God. But know it and then, oh God, take care of me. God alone can really know our heart. He knows what our hopes are. He knows what our plans are. He knows the reasons why. And God judges better than anyone else. God is fairer. We see this in Jesus Christ when he was on earth. When they brought the woman caught in adultery, what did Jesus say? Well, you wicked, no good Woman, you ought to be in jail. No. He says, go and sin no more. That's the kind of a God you have. Remember that, congregation. That's the kind of a God you have. He loves you. But you need to tell him, Lord, search my heart. I want my heart to be open to you. Let me walk every step with you at my side. And then I don't have to worry what the world says, and I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about year 2000. I don't worry at all about it, because my hand is in yours and I belong to you, and you know my heart. God judges better. He's fair. He knows us because he created us. And when we say, search me, O God, we say, O God, even search me in my thoughts. Beginning of sin comes right up there in that brain. Maybe through the eyes or through the ears, but to that brain. And so those are our thoughts. And we say, O God, look in there. Take that filth out. Take that other things out that are wrong. Take these things out. Mr. President, Congress, governors, you want to know how to solve the problems of our nation? There's only one way. If they would only get on their knees and realize there's only one way, and that is to have the people of our country know God and be able to open their hearts that way and live for God and for our country. The thoughts, that's where the beginning of sin is. And the imaginations. The child of God wants God to be involved in his thinking and in his planning. Isn't that beautiful? That's exactly the way it is. And you see, you can have it that way. And let me tell you, what a wonderful partner in life. I'm talking about God. What a wonderful partner in life when you share your plans with him. Because he can make anything go. Because he's almighty. But you see, you have to share your heart with him. You see what the great benefit it is? God, I'm yours. I belong to you. I'm a child of God. You love me. You sent your son on earth to die for me. Oh, God, I love you. Now, here are some of my plans. What do you think about it, God? God, we may say no. He may close doors. He may open them up. He may put us on our knees. He may hurt us. We may lose the job. We may get promoted. We may have other things. But God, as long as you're the one that's a partner in my life, I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to worry about what comes tomorrow, because you're going to do what's best for me. Romans 8:28, from the viewpoint of eternity. Oh, Christian friends, it needs to be our prayer every day. Oh, God, search my heart. Search my heart and know it. And then hold my heart in your hands, God. We can hide our thoughts from somebody else, but you can't hide them from God. God wants you to share these things with him. Sharing with him, isn't that wonderful? What do you think prayer is for? Well, some people think prayer is just sending out a grocery list to God, asking for things. No. It's much more than that. It's worshiping God, first of all, but then above all, when you pray, you share your life with him. Scripture tells us that Jesus often, and there are many, many places in the New Testament it tells us about Jesus went off to pray, talk to his Father in heaven. This is God talking to God. But he wanted to share the plans of perfect salvation with his Father in heaven. Double check again. If Jesus needed to do it and he's God, don't you and I need to do it? That much the more. Share our hearts and our thoughts. But that's not all that our text tells us. It also says, try me. Ooh, we don't like that. No, try me. Judge my heart. Judge my life. Let me tell you, only a Christian, only someone who's dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ and to know that he's saved, dare even whisper that, let alone in this prayer say, Lord, search me. Try me. Put me before thy throne of justice. expose my heart. Make me see myself as you see me, not as I would like to portray myself, but as you, because you're my best friend, God. You know, even our best friends don't always tell us what's good. They don't want to hurt us. You know how it is. They don't want to hurt us. And so sometimes they don't tell us what we really ought to know. And sometimes the reason we do that is we sometimes make such a terrible job of it when we try to tell our friend what they really ought to do, and we foul up everything and we become angry with each. No, but God, try me, God, because you're the only just God there is, only just individual as God that there is. My wonderful wife, if I would ask her to judge me, she would do it with all of her love. A wonderful husband, he would do it with all of his love. But his standards never can be like God's standards, because this is sinful man. God, you try me in your perfect standard of righteousness and remove my pet sin from me. Did you hear that? Remove that pet sin from me. Then I say, I've got a right to it. I got a right to it. In marriage counseling, I've often asked people to write down 10 things about the other person that they liked. The one that they said was, you know, wasn't so good. And then I make them read them to each other when we're counseling. And then I also ask them to say the 10 things that they think's wrong with themselves. And they say that to the other person, the husband to the wife. Now, don't all of you come asking me to do any counseling, because it's my work and I love to do it. And I do it in a Christian way, because this is the best training for a counselor right here. Try me. Remove my pet sin, one that I protect so carefully back here in the corner of my heart, in the corner of my mind. Remove that from me. Because God, I don't want to have anything between me and you. And listen, husband, listen, wife, that's the way to keep a marriage. It'll cause some tears sometimes, and it'll cause a little humility, but confess those things, get rid of it, and then by the grace of God, promise with the strength of that partner to not to fall into those sins anymore. I know what it is. And then, oh God, make me hate my sin. Oh, the trouble is, we love sin. Make me, God, when you try me, make me hate that sin. It's my enemy. I know it is. It's keeping me from walking with you the way I want to walk with you. Make me hate it. My trouble is, too much I love it and I coddle it, and it's something special. That's what's wrong with our country. Want to do what they want to do when they want to do it, regardless of how evil it is. No, this is where it's different between the child of God and the world. Make me hate my sin. Do not let me excuse myself or try to say, well, you know, after all, this is the thing. No, God, let me hate that sin. Oh, this causes humility. Let me tell you, it takes a lot of humility to be a husband and to be a wife and to be a child and to be a mother and a dad. But it's even much more humbling to stand before God. But yet it's glorious. Because then you can say, I walk with the King, hallelujah. I walk with the Lord, praise his name. And you can't wait for Sunday to come. And you can't wait when somebody says, could you help us with this in the women's work or with the men's work or in the choir, you know, or something in the church? You can't wait to have them ask, because you walk with the King and you want to be occupied not in all these other things, but in the King's work. Now walk with the King. Hallelujah. Remove that pet sin. You be the judge. And then, oh God, lead me. Lead me. Congregation, you notice this is just right out of the Bible. I'm not preaching men's ideas. This is exactly what our scripture says. Search me, O God, know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me. I preach the word of God just right out of the word of God, and that's all you need. You don't need the stories of the world. Lead me then, God, here I am. Oh, yes, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I can do as I please, and I stand with... No, God, lead me. I want to follow you. God says, okay, here you are. That's how God leads us. And so we get into the Word of God and we read it, and God speaks to us. What we're saying when we ask God to lead us, what we're saying is, be my guide. Be my guide. It's so easy for me to go astray, God. You know, I'm living and walking in this wilderness of this world and sin all round about me. You don't even have to look for sin. It's just polluted over you constantly, whether it's in TV or whether it's on the radio or whether it's by your neighbors or whether it's at the theater or wherever it is, it's there. But, oh, God, lead me. Lead me. Don't let me look this way or that way, but lead me. I'm so weak. I'm so weak, God. Because you see, now David is saying, this is how we talk personally to God. And you confess it, and he knows it. And he'll give you strength. I'm so weak, God. I need you. Hold my hand, God. Take me every day. Every step of the way, oh, take me, God. I can't walk alone. I'll get off the right path. Hold my hand. Stay close to me, God. May I feel your presence there. May I know your will. And we get back to the Word of God, don't we? Lead me. And then in leading me, be my Father. Oh, what a wonderful Father. My Father in heaven. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, yes, be my Father. I need your loving care. Oh, how we need the love of a wife or a husband, a mother, father, a child. But, oh, I need your love, God. But the love of the world, the love of loved ones, is nothing compared to your love, because that's absolutely perfect. That's almighty. That's sovereign love. That's the love that accomplishes things. I need your loving care, because I'm just your child. I'm that little sheep that can so easily go astray. Take me in your arms and lead me. I want to be yours. Because you know what's best for me, my God. You know what's best for me because you made me. And now that I've asked you to search me, now that I've asked you to try me, and now that I've asked you to lead me, I want to rejoice that I'm truly a child of the King, that I live with you and for you to give glory. I don't have to worry about death. I don't have to worry about death. I have a dear friend. The man has earned too much money. He's a multimillionaire. He's afraid to die. He was on all our Christian boards and all that sort of stuff and all that, and he accumulated money. Sometimes money can get between you and God. That's bad. Afraid to die. To a child of God that says, search me, try me, lead me. It's just another step home when he takes us. or when he comes on the clouds of glory. You see, Christian, this is the blueprint of a Christian's life. This is a blueprint of a good family, of a good marriage, but a good relationship with your God. If we love God, we will want him to be in charge of our life, not ourselves. When I was in public high school, I had to learn a poem. I am the master of my fate and all the rest. I think I've forgotten it, and I'm thankful I have. It's known as such a great poem. I am the master of my fate. No, I'm not. No, my God is. And I don't want to go by my decisions. I want to go by yours, God. And God leads us. We submit our will. And so as God's people, we walk as born again, victorious Christians, more than conquerors, says Paul. More than conquerors. Christians, that's what it is. It's been good preaching to you for 4 weeks. I love being here with you people. And I'm leaving you with this wonderful thought. Read it over again when you get home. Search me, O God, and try my heart, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of life everlasting. Because I love you, and I need your love, and I want to be your child. And if there are any that are the son that has left home, left the father's home, I want to talk to you too. God's got something better than what you've wandered off into. He's got something that's glorious and wonderful. He's got something for you that nothing in this world can give you. And you can walk a victorious, glorious life instead of being down in the slums with the pigs in the pens of the pigs and eating with the pigs as a prodigal son. That father's there. I still see the picture in my mind. When I preached of the prodigal son and the father would walk out every morning. You walk out here looking out for where his son had gone, and up on the hill, the rest of the family was still sleeping, but the father was out there looking. And then at last, the son said, I'm going back to my father and home. There's some out there in radio land that needs to say that. God's still on that hill. He's out there looking every morning, and he'll take you and hold you, and he'll put the best ring on your finger, and heaven will rejoice that you've come back. Search me, try me, lead me, and I'll be a child of God that walks with a king. Hallelujah. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for the glory of your wonderful word. Oh, what a tremendous realization it is to know that we are children of the living God, that we have everything in the world to live for and nothing to worry about in the future. Oh, we would be known by thee. Oh, bless us, our God. Bless this church. Bless our pastor and also those who are listening on the radio. In Jesus' name. Amen. you. You were reminded that there is going to be a scrumptious lunch that the ladies have prepared for us. So if you're a visitor, don't go away without getting in line and having something to eat. I'm looking forward to it, too. Didn't even eat any breakfast because I wanted to eat all that, you know. I was here once before when we had that, you know. Okay, so we rise for the benediction. Go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.